Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio, where we have a 24/7 chat room where you can come and share what's going on in the world with people of like mind. Anything and everything against the New World Order. Dial 347-324-3704 to catch our live show. Beginning at 9 in the morning, Pacific Standard Time, Monday through Friday till midnight, and 9 to 9 on Saturday and Sunday. Take us to the beach. Take us to the park. Take us on a walk with the dog. Only on Freedomizer Radio.
Sick of all the doublespeak on the radio these days? Tired of turning on your television to hear nothing but lies?
Go.
It's time for some real news, don't you think? Tune in to Freedomizer Radio on Saturdays, 12 p.m. Pacific, and listen to Truth Quest Radio with Tia Severino. We search for the answers to the questions the mainstream media is afraid to ask. Join us on our quest. Truth Quest.
And we are live with Truth Quest Radio, Tia Severino. This is, I am your host, Tia Severino, and we are coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia on Freedomizer Radio. I'm excited about my show today because we're going to be talking about something that's near and dear to my heart. And I have some lovely ladies lined up to talk to you guys today. And we've all kind of been going down the same path, the same journey of first of all, getting breast implants, which is, you know, a decision that a lot of women, I think it's 300,000 women per year are getting breast implants. So a lot of women have breast implants. We got breast implants, and ours made us sick. And that is the case for about 25% of the women who do get breast implants. There's going to be complications. The longer you have them, the greater your risk for complications. They are foreign objects that are implanted into the body. The body will reject, and in the mildest case of a reaction, you have capsular contracture, which is where the scar tissue that forms by the body around the breast implant hardens and tightens up, and can be uncomfortable to painful. And that's just really one of the, that is the most common, what you would call adverse reaction to a breast implant is that scar tissue forming. But a lot of women have come forward to say that they believe they've had a lot of other illnesses that have come along, which may or may not have been caused by or exacerbated by the breast implants. But many women are finding that when they do go ahead and remove the implants and the scar tissue capsule, that they do see an improvement in a lot of those symptoms. So without further ado, I'm going to bring my first guest on, Tally. Tell us about your journey through breast implant illness. What kind of implants did you get? Have you had them removed? What kind of symptoms did you have, and have those gotten better since you had them removed? If you did, you've got the floor, sweetie.
Sure. Well, I got saline breast implants back. First time was in 2001, was my first set, and I chose the saline because it was sold to me as the safe implant. I was told that it was just salt water in a bag, and that if anything happened, if it ruptured, for example, that the only thing that would be going into my system would be salt water, which to me sounded extremely safe. I had that first set of implants. I did get capsular contracture, And I went in because I had some asymmetry due to the capsular contracture, and went into a plastic surgeon, another plastic surgeon, just to get some answers on what are some solutions right now, what could I do about it. And I ended up getting another set of implants. I can't really give more specifics about that surgeon because I am currently in a lawsuit against the surgeon, but I will say that I did have 4 additional breast implant surgeries with this surgeon, and that is part of the case. But what ended up happening is in around 2010, I started experiencing some an increase of symptoms, things like chronic fatigue. And when I say fatigue, that's a minor word. This was full-on, full-blown exhaustion where I couldn't get off the couch. And I developed migraine headaches that wouldn't go away with Advil or with rest. I had joint pain and muscle pain, a loss of interest in anything that I was interested in at the time. I used to exercise all the time, and I couldn't even get off the couch. And when I did exercise, if I was feeling well, then it would take 3 days to recover from just going to the gym. And so it was very difficult for me. I noticed cognitive impairment, brain fog, memory loss. Suddenly I lost all my hair. I was diagnosed with Hashimoto's thyroiditis, and around that time I started developing skin infections that weren't responding to traditional antibiotics. I developed food allergies. I had chronic stomach pain, and pretty much every system in my body was shutting down. And I went from doctor to doctor. I went to my primary care physician, who referred me to an endocrinologist. The endocrinologist had me on multiple medications to control my thyroid. That wasn't working. I went to any and every kind of doctor and started getting diagnoses like Hashimoto's and chronic fatigue or fibromyalgia, or maybe it's just all in your head and you're just so stressed and you should take this antidepressant because we can't figure out what's wrong with you. And things really escalated. It wasn't until 2016 when I went in for a routine mammogram. And the mammogram, by the way, came out absolutely normal and fine. But after that mammogram, I started experiencing extreme pain in my left breast that radiated all the way through my left side of my body, that every time I took a step with my left foot, it felt like glass was splintering on the left side of my body. And it was around that time that I started connecting the dots that maybe whatever's going on in my breast has something to do with the systemic symptoms that I'm experiencing. I ended up going for a second opinion. I was living in South Florida at the time, and I went to a plastic surgeon in West Palm Beach. And he said I had capsular contracture grade 4+ on the left side. And he didn't know what was going on, but he felt that I needed to explant or take these out. But his solution was to explant and to also put in new, smaller breast implants. I asked, well, why can't we – let's just take them out completely. And he said that I would be disfigured if he just removed the implants and didn't put anything back in. And so the plan was that I would remove these implants and get new ones. I scheduled surgery.
And that would have been your sixth. That would have been your sixth surgery, your sixth set of implants, correct?
That's correct, yes.
Oh, God.
So I went in for surgery. It was that Friday. It was May 6, 2016. And the surgery was 8 hours long under general anesthesia. And I woke up. The surgeon said that he did put new implants back in. I went home. And my boyfriend said that in the morning we'll be going back for the follow-up, but that he did want to let me know. The surgeon told him that there was something floating in my implants. He didn't know what it was, but he wanted me to be aware of it. And when I went in the next day, I had an opportunity to see my breast implants for the first time, and just alarm bells. I'm really speechless to tell you what it was that I, but my implants was completely, the left implant was completely brown with floating particles inside the implant. The right one was cloudy and white. It had white particles that were floating inside the implant as well. It turns out that the implants were full of mold, fungus, and bacteria. So it was a complete biotoxin hazard. Both implants were ruptured, and the contents of them had filtrated throughout my system. Now, as I was looking at this, I had new breast implants, new saline implants that were now implanted in my body. And I was completely outraged. And, of course, I was stressed out. I had to wait 6 months just to fully recover from that surgery in order to get those new breast implants removed, which I did. And that was November 29th, 2016. And that was my last breast surgery. I had to move from South Florida to Colorado in order to get better because with the weather in Florida being hot and humid, it was increasing inflammation in my body and I wasn't getting better. I've been in Colorado now for a couple months. I am getting better. I'm about 75% right now. I still have migraines, fatigue, some joint pain. The brain fog is definitely better. My hair has grown back. My thyroid is able to be regulated now. And hopefully I'm on the trajectory now of getting better. But with biotoxin, with mold-related illness, it is there can be irreparable damage. And I am working now with functional medicine doctors here as part of my journey to get better.
Well, you're in a state where you have access to all kinds of medicine that can help you, so I hope you do take advantage of that.
I do. I actually,
you know,
I got a medical card just yesterday, so I'm hoping with the combo of CBD and THC that's going to help with the inflammation and pain.
Yeah, that's what it's good for, inflammation and pain. But not only that, you know, this when you have such an incredible amount of inflammation and autoimmune reaction going on in your body, it causes nerve damage as well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, because you're in so much pain that you're literally, your nerves are just like, I can't do it anymore. You know, I mean, you really have, it's also you have PTSD and you're on high alert all the time. You're just so sick and your body is so worn out all the time. So, yeah, I would recommend that you definitely take advantage of being in a legal state and access to what part of Colorado are you in?
I'm in the Denver area.
Okay. I work in a hyperbaric clinic. I've been working in hyperbarics for 13 years now, and I can tell you that it is the best thing that you can do for any kind of fungal infections or any kind of mold. It'll help your body detox. So see if you can find a hyperbaric clinic in Denver. Denver's a pretty big city. You may have to contact me. If you're not able to find one, contact me. I'll see if my boss knows of a clinic or a doctor in Denver that can help you get access to hyperbaric therapy. Hyperbaric therapy, basically, it's like pressure squeezing oxygen into all the cells of your body.
Yeah, it almost feels like get oxygen, even though I've acclimated to the altitude. It's I believe that the way that mold biotoxin illness works is it really affects all the way down into the mitochondria of the cell. And so you constantly experience exhaustion. Your cells just can't carry oxygen, I feel, effectively throughout the body.
Well, you're also at higher elevation, so you really should consider supplemental oxygen under pressure because of the there's just the air is thinner where you're at. So, I would recommend that. I mean, it's a long journey. It sounds like you got your implants removed just a few weeks after I got mine removed. Now, did you always had saline, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, even though that better than if you'd had a ruptured silicone implant in you, those can get real nasty. But the shell is made out of silicone.
Right. The shell is made out of silicone, so I'm fighting both the toxicity from the outer mm-hmm. shell of the implant, which also contains over 40 toxic chemicals, and as well as the biotoxin illness. So no breast implant is safe. I don't think one is worse, really, than the other. I think they're just all bad. And mm-hmm. we were not given informed consent or proper informed consent to make the decision about whether to get this. This was sold to me as a safe medical device, and that there were plenty of long-term studies to prove its safety. And there wasn't even talk about changing out the implants every 10 years initially when I first got them. I was under the impression they were lifelong devices, and they're not. So women really need to be informed about the risks mm-hmm. and also the expenditure. That last year alone, just for my medical expenses, I spent over $13,000.
Wow.
The X surgeries are usually not covered on insurance. And so these are added expenses, along with the immunologists, infectious disease doctors, rheumatologists, endocrinologists that you will have to see for a lifetime if you want to be implanted with these devices.
Right. Well, let me ask you this. During the period of time that you had the implants, were you vaccinated at all during that time?
During that time, no, I was not, thankfully.
Good. I mean, you're lucky. I was, and every time I got a vaccine, my health just went in the toilet, and it would take me, you know, several years to get back to even just almost functioning again. And then, I had like 1, 2, 3, 4 hits of vaccines during the 18 mm-hmm. years that I had my implants, and every time it was like I crashed. And it didn't put it together until about 4 or 5 years ago. But that's what was happening. Even after having my son develop a brain injury.
What I did do was I did get at the time, because I did think this was safe as well, but I was getting Botox injections, and I was also getting Juvederm or fillers. And we're talking about vaccinations and so forth. All of these things are toxic to the body.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone has difficulty with processing or removing toxins from their body, which about 25% of the population does, then anything that we are putting in our body, whether it's chemicals, it's hairspray that we're in our hair, if it's not a natural soap or if it's deodorant, anything, Botox, fillers, immunization shots, anything that we're putting in our body is increasing our toxic load, and that's when we become ill. And so people are going to be getting sicker and sicker because of environmental illness. And this is kind of a newer illness in our world that we live in, where food is poisoning us and medicine is poisoning us and our medical devices are poisoning us. And so the medical community can't recognize the symptoms. And so going to a traditional Western medical doctor is not going to find you answers. And if you have any of the symptoms of breast implant illness, your best bet is to explant with an explant surgeon and to see a functional medicine doctor, somebody who thinks along the lines of Eastern medical philosophy, because they will be more apt to believe you instead of just handing over an antidepressant or telling you, well, you're just a woman and these are just symptoms of menopause or perimenopause, because they're not.
Well, you know, here's the thing. This is the way I look at it. You know, one of the things that doctors will say to you is that Well, you know, you were probably going to be developing these issues anyway. All right. So you have fibromyalgia. Yeah, you got breast implants. However, you probably were going to get fibromyalgia anyway if you hadn't had the breast implants or, you know, any number of other symptoms that we may have. And my response to that is it very well may be true that I may have developed fibromyalgia without having the breast implants as a trigger. However, it surely has not helped me, you know, if I was genetically predisposed already to having that condition. And, you know, if, in other words, if I was already set up for fibromyalgia to begin with, then getting the implants may not have caused my fibromyalgia, but it certainly, you know, contributed to the downward spiraling into that disease, disorder, whatever you want to call it. However,
absolutely,
you know, you can't deny these ladies who get their implants removed and their symptoms lessen or go away completely. Now, for some ladies, that's right away. They're getting a lot of relief from, you know, really early on. And then for some ladies, it takes months to a few years. And I have heard of some ladies that just have stayed sick for a very long time, and there's really no telling, like who was in the first category and who's in the second category and what's causing what. It's just like with vaccines. You know, I mean, they have created the environment in which they have cast so much doubt on vaccines being unsafe that whenever you have a reaction to a vaccine, which is either a normal reaction or a known reaction or even an unusual reaction, it's so hard to pinpoint, put your finger on and say, well, you know, it was the vaccine that caused it. Now, some cases, you know, it's very obvious. But even in those cases, it's really hard to prove definitively that the vaccine caused the injury. And it's the same thing. It's that all of these things, there's so many similarities with the medical devices and with the vaccines and with the drugs and everything else. But the difference is, you know, you can't really sue the manufacturers of vaccines when they're, you know, when their products injure you, where with implants, that protection is not as, it's not as ironclad. So there are some very successful lawsuits that have been launched against the vaccine, or not the implant manufacturers. And silicone was taken off of the market for a while. Now it's back because they've manipulated the science. It's a very, very similar type of thing is happening here where the manufacturers are allowed to buy the science. Well, you can, I mean, you can create a study and manipulate a study to give you the results that you want. And that is what they've done. What we need is we need good good science that's not bought by the implant manufacturers that can actually show, determine, ferret out what it is, you know, what it is that is causing these women, there's so many of us now, to get sick, you know? I just think that the idea of putting these foreign objects into our bodies is it's not a good idea, you know. But man, you couldn't have talked.
Women are coming forward and sharing their stories. And just for any women who are listening, or any boyfriends, husbands, fathers, any mothers, sisters, neighbors of anyone who you know who might have breast implants and are tuning in and listening to this, who think they might be ill, there are some great resources that are available online. One is a Facebook group with almost 20,000 women. It's Breast Implant Illness and Healing by Nicole. And another one is a nonprofit organization that helps women to explant and recover. And that is TITS Committee. It stands for the Implant Truth Survivors Committee. But it's titscommittee.org. And so there are women helping women out there and women joining together for one cause, and that is to help other women who have breast implant illness and also to hold those who are accountable for this, because we've been lied to by the FDA and the medical manufacturers for a long time, and it's about time that this stops.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And I think that it's really important, too, to talk about the process of having your implants removed and how to go about finding the right doctor, because, you know, a lot of doctors, I don't know, like you just mentioned, you've had a total of 7 surgeries, 6 augmentations and 1 explant. When you had the replacements, were they removing the scar tissue each time? Were they removing
the
tissue, or were they just...
They were loading it on, and just so you know, that every one of those sets of implants that were put in had mold in them. I do have the reports from the manufacturer that do state that there were black and white particles that were found on the inside and outside of the implant. These were never tested, and I was never told about these black and white particles on or inside these implants at the time. I only found out about this later in 2016. When I inquired.
So how many sets of capsules did you have removed when you finally explanted?
That was that 8-hour surgery. That 8-hour surgery. He took out most of the capsule. However, and this could be why I am not 100% better. I'm about 70-75% better at this time. But I did not have the procedure known as end block, where the entire capsule is removed intact along with the implant. I had a capsulectomy, which means that they cut away at the capsule. However, I did find out that I do have some capsule that was left behind, which could be contaminated with toxic chemicals, with mold and fungi. There's really no way to know if the capsule has been left inside you, if that's what's continuing to cause your illness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard some good things about a supplement called Serrapeptase.
Okay.
Have you heard of Serrapeptase? It's
yes, I haven't. I saw it on our support group, so I will definitely look into that.
So I would do Serrapeptase. I would do if you can get light therapy, or if you can do heating pads, far infrared sauna, and hyperbaric will help to break down that capsule if you have any that's remaining in you. And it may be a slow journey. I'm 6 months out. I still have days of pretty extreme fatigue. But I had the implants for 18 years, so. It's probably not going to be an overnight journey for me to get back to complete health. But I did have some of my symptoms resolve immediately. My back and neck and shoulder pain, my arm pain, my hands and wrists used to always like get cold and would hurt and be numb. I had hip and knee pain, and all of those things resolved within 24 hours of my explant surgery. So that was huge, having warm hands again, having my hip and my knee not hurt, having my shoulder, back, neck, it was huge. Even if those were just the main improvements, it was worth it for that. But I'm definitely happy that I'm free of those things. Now, you said that the doctors all told you that you would be deformed. Did you end up getting a lift?
I did have what's known as a donut lift, which means that they cut around the areola so you don't have the line that goes downward from your breast. I went from about a double D with the implant to an A, and I believe that beauty, healthy is the new beautiful. And my breasts don't define me. They are not what makes me beautiful. if this is the valuable lesson that I needed to learn along my journey from my early 30s to now, then so be it. I learned it. We have to love ourselves and have confidence in ourselves the way that God made us and find peace in that. But anything that we are putting into our body that is not natural, we are running the risk. Even if the FDA says it's safe, we cannot believe the medical community. And the medical community now denying that breast implant illness is real. Is not helping women who are currently in the same situation that we're in right now. And we're talking mm-hmm. millions of women who are sick and don't even realize that it's coming from their breast implant, that we really owe it to the world to educate them, to educate doctors and other women in order for them to find health and peace.
Absolutely. Very well said. All right. Well, I appreciate you coming and coming on the show and sharing your story. I have to do this thing where I play commercials every, 30 minutes or so, and then when I come back, I'm going to be bringing on Charity, and she's going to be sharing her breast implant illness story. You are welcome to stay if you want. You can listen, you can interact, or you can go on, go ahead and hang up. It's up to you. But moving along here, again, I really do appreciate you coming on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Awesome.
You're an activist. You have a cause and an idea. But you also have lots of questions. You need help. After all, teams have coaches, corporations have consultants, and even politicians have campaign managers. But who do activists turn to? The Solutions Institute. We are a collection of professionals and activists from across the political spectrum. Our goal is to teach, motivate, and put all the necessary tools for activism in your hands without charge. Learn more or submit your project at solutions-institute.org.
Tune in to Forsaken Generation, Mondays at 1 to 2:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, where we will be revealing the true science behind vaccines, the harm they cause, the stories of the affected families just like our own, and much, much more. So tune in and get the stories that the big news channels refuse to cover. This day and age, we must protect our families from those sworn to do no harm. We will not ingest the lies any longer. Mothers, fathers, doctors, scientists, journalists, speaking out on behalf of the health of humanity. So, join my mom, your host, Lynette Barron, on Forsaken Generation, Mondays, 1 to 2:30 p.m. Central Standard Time.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
And we are back. This is Truth Quest Radio. I'm your host, Tia Severino. We've been talking about breast implant illness, something that I have experienced with myself as I had breast implants for 18 years and had them removed 6 months ago. Been talking with Tali. She's been sharing her breast implant illness journey. And I'd like to welcome our next guest, which is Charity, and Charity also has a story to tell about breast implant illness. So, Charity, welcome to the show. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me, Miss Tia. Very excited.
So tell me, Charity, what kind of breast implants did you get? How long did you have them? Have you had them removed? What kind of symptoms were you experiencing, and how is life now?
Okay, well, I was implanted in November of 2007 after my second and last child was born. And just to be real here, I remember after my first son, I breastfed for 6 months. And I remember looking at myself after and just hating what I saw. I would cry. It was terrible. 6 years between my two sons. After my second one, I was implanted with an IUD, which we are now finding also contains silicone. Pretty instantly, I started with headaches. My periods were heavier and were almost nonstop, and my hair started falling out. So I went into the doctor, told me, oh, well, those aren't symptoms of your IUD. And I said, well, regardless of your opinion, this started right after I got the IUD, and I would like it out, please. So, of course, not putting two and two together, I finished breastfeeding my second son and decide that I just can't handle looking myself in the mirror anymore. I remember I would grab them and I would just squeeze them and I would cry and I would just hate looking at myself. I was just disgusted by my body. And so in November of 2007, I implanted with saline, smooth saline under the muscle. I don't remember the size, but I did go from a full B to a double D. I was happy the way I looked. I felt confident. I was wondering why anybody who had any problems with the way they looked would not just save the money and do this surgery. Like, it made me feel like I was a person. And it wasn't about what other people saw when they looked at me, whether it was in a nice dress or my bathing suit. It was me looking at me every day. And that was all well and good until about 6 months later, my first symptom, which I didn't even put together until a couple weeks ago. I was diagnosed with, it's an itching, it's an allergy to touch, and it's called dermatographic urticaria. I think I'm saying that right. I would be walking through the grass at the farm and just the grass touching my ankles, it would swell into like a hive, just an itchy, burny, and feel like fire ants were just crawling on me. I soon realized that I could be putting laundry away, and anywhere where the cabinet would touch my forearm would instantly swell and burn and itch. My son would drag his hand with his fingernails across my arm, swelling, itching, burning. In and out of the hospital, it took 4 trips to emergency before they finally, I had the doctor come in and say, oh my gosh, I haven't seen this since medical school. And he took his pen without the ink, without the pen part down, and he wrote help on my forearm. And it just lifted, and you could read it clear as day. And it stayed there for about 5 minutes of the itching and burning, and then it would go away. But got that taken care of, although I will be a carrier of it for the rest of my life. Sometimes it'll pop up, little minor ways. It hasn't come back that strong yet. Fingers crossed. After that, I was diagnosed bipolar. Still to this day, I'm waiting for test backs from my doctor to see if it was misdiagnosed, because I've heard from some of the ladies in group that Hashimoto's has the same sort of symptoms. But that's kind of where it all started going downhill for me, because my mental health has been about the worst. I was also diagnosed with celiac. I could go through the list. I had fatigue, brain fog, memory loss, muscle and joint pain, hair loss, premature aging, insomnia, bad vision, estrogen imbalance, definitely a low sex drive, acid reflux, fever, hot and cold, my whole body, my hands. If it was anything higher or lower than 75, I'm either freezing or burning up. The rash, of course, constant infections. I had to have my tonsils out 2 years ago. Sinus infections, migraines, ear pain. If I sleep on my left side for too long, my ear starts throbbing. If I sleep on my right side too long, my ear starts throbbing. Slow muscle recovery. I was pretty active before, and I actually work at a school, so by the end of my day, I am sore, I am achy, I am in bed, hating life. That's like the main issue I had. I also had heart pain, arrhythmia, murmur. It seemed like the more activity I did, and I'm sure it's because the implant was under the muscle, that when those muscles would build, it would put that much more pressure on my chest. The weight was ridiculous, and I had the burning around my heart on my left side. I honestly thought I was having a heart attack sometimes. It was the worst pain. In and out of the cardiologist a few times in the last 5 years. Celiac disease, no more gluten. Dairy intolerance, the last few months has been no dairy. It changed every aspect of my world. And where the mental part was, I've had my boyfriend for 7 years, off and on. The beginning was really rough because that was when the bipolar really started kicking in and the loss of sex drive, and I didn't know whether I was coming or going. There would be days where I would just be so overwhelmed. I would literally get in the shower, turn it on cold, full blast, clothes on, and just cry because I did not know how to feel. I was feeling like a failure all the time. I was in and out of doctors. You know, that makes you crazy because they can't tell you what's wrong with you. And that's a huge part of it. What is wrong with me? Why am I broken? Why can't I fix this? Am I just depressed? I'm horrible. I'm a horrible person. That was my life for the last 4 years, I would say. It did start getting better. I was put on a bipolar medication, which now if I find out it was Hashimoto's, I've got to kind of try to make a transition from one to the other. And I'm terrified of that still because I just finally got leveled out this last couple of years. But coming home from work and laying in bed, I remember crying and crying and crying. My kids, one is now 10, the other one is 16, so they're a little more self-reliant. But I would lay in bed after work and cry because I had zero energy to get up and make them a meal. Costco trips with Hot Pockets and the easiest possible food you could think of in my freezer was how I was dealing because I just did not want to get out of bed. And it's so hard to explain that to people because you just look like you're lazy or you look like you're depressed. It's awful. I felt like the world's worst mom, and I will never forget March 16th, my boyfriend sends me a text message and says, "You've got to read this article. You have to read it. Everything that has been going on with you is listed in this article." And I read it, and in it was a link to the breast implant illness and support page by Nicole. And I went and I joined, and I'm pretty sure it was March 16th. It was. That day I joined, and within a couple hours, I had a phone call from one of my breasties, Renee, and I was sobbing, just sobbing. And there were moments she was crying with me, telling me it's okay, you're not crazy, you're not a bad mom, there is a reason, and we will fix it, we will make it right. And from that moment on, all I've seen is hope. And March 16th, about 2 weeks later, I had my consultation with Dr. Busby in Portland. That would be May 2nd. And I went, and it was an amazing experience. He was very warming and comforting, and the staff was great. And they scheduled my appointment for the 18th. So I explanted 8 days ago today.
Wow.
And, yeah. It was amazing. And then you go on this page and you meet these ladies. I've got Renee and I've got Jill. And it's this awesome feeling right from the get-go. And then I'm waiting for my surgery. It's the night before my surgery. And we're talking about going in. And you're on the prayer list. And everybody's praying for you. And everybody's giving you well wishes. And you have a family that you can trust and that you can talk to. And I actually got a message from my friend Tammy Jo, who told me that the next day she was explanting with the same doctor just a few hours earlier. And I remember the whole day was talking to her about, oh, you should tell the doctor that you're not feeling good. Tell him to bring you a Slurpee and you can wait till I'm out of surgery so we can recover together. It was like this bond that was made in that moment that she got me to that next step, And then the first few days of recovery, you are not alone. And I was at my house. I was alone. I didn't want my kids to see me in that pain. So my oldest would come back and forth and check on me, and my mom would come back and forth and check on me. But I was alone. And having that group and these women, yourself included, was like I was home and I wasn't alone. And within 3 days, I was feeling so good, so much better. Like I had all this energy and I still have all this energy. And I'm not supposed to do anything. So I have my little breasties sending me instant messages like, oh, who's taking care of Charity today? Who's making sure she's on her back and not up and doing stuff? Hey, are you doing the limo? You better not be. It's just a constant support. Mm-hmm. And I don't know where I would be without that right now. So that's kind of my story. I understand any woman who looks in the mirror and just hates what she sees. And I can even say that when it came to explant, I was terrified of what I would look after explant. And I just wanted to slap myself thinking, okay, that mindset is what got you where you are, lady. You need to knock it off. But I it's real. It's a real thing. Insecurity is real. Vanity is real. But your health is so much more important. And going on this page and seeing all these women and everything they've been through, the women with the double mastectomy who just wanted to appear normal in any way, shape, and form. Like, it's so warming to see that they say at this point that they feel free and alive and good. And we're all here for each other.
Well, I got to tell you, you know, I see this struggle and I went through the struggle too, because, you know, I consulted with 7 surgeons before choosing Dr. Dawsey in Atlanta. And the first 6 surgeons that I went to all told me that I didn't have any breast tissue left, that I was going to look, you know, I would hate the result. I even had one doctor tell me that I was had built my identity around being a large-breasted woman, and I would have an identity crisis if I took them out. One of them told me my husband would leave me. I mean, it was just ridiculous. They all told me
goodness.
I needed to replace. They all told me if I didn't replace, at the very least, I needed a lift because I was going to be deformed or blah, blah, blah. I didn't get a lift. I'm really glad I didn't get a lift. I know a lot of ladies are getting lifts, but, you know, I just want to say I had to get to a point where, you know, like you were saying, it does not matter what my breasts look like if I'm healthy. That's what's important. But I've been very lucky, very fortunate. My outcome was really good. I actually look like now what I wanted my breasts to look like when I went in and got the implants. I had
the first time.
Yes.
Isn't that amazing?
Who knew
that
I
happens?
Just,
and it's like, this moment.
Who knew I just needed to gain 30 pounds? You know what I mean? But the bottom line is,
for me,
it was a journey to self. It was a journey to self-acceptance. But my question for you is, did you get a lift?
I did. I did get a lift, and it just happened to be, you go on and you see a lot of women say, well, I was told you got to wait a certain amount of time between the explant and the lift or the fat transfer. I was blessed because I had had the anchor lift when I had my implant. So I already had the scar, which is around the nipple, down, and then under the breast. And it took that, like the fact that I already had that, the fact that I did have fat tissue, and also the viability of your skin at that point, because after implants, your skin stretches, it loses elasticity, it could be thin, and he told me if your skin is too thin, I won't be able to do it because that skin will die. So there's just all these little variables that allow you or not allow you to have the lift. And I am very blessed. Just like you, I'm very happy with the results. It kind of makes me feel bad sometimes when I see women on the page just hating the result and being so scared. But like I said, the support they get. And then you talking about having to go to 6 different surgeons, it just, that's another huge thing for me and makes me emotional that you ladies pioneered this group and you put in all the legwork. You put in all the time and the effort and the energy going to all of these different plastic surgeons to get to give good reviews, to say, nope, that guy said that. You don't want to go there. He will make you feel bad about yourself. I was lucky to come in March and be able to look at the list that is on our page of who explants in the area and to have all of these amazing women just suggest Dr. Busby. And the fact that so many people had already gone through this with him, I'm not sure of the number exactly, but it was like 15, 18. I'm not positive, so don't quote me on that one. But there's just so many that have gone through this before me and made the process for me so much easier. It was an easy process once I got there. But given I was a cash explant, I was blessed in that area, so I didn't have to worry about insurance or jumping through hoops, and that is not an easy process. I attempted that at the beginning, and I quickly gave up because my health at the moment was just, I was throwing up blood. I was in a spot where they needed to come out. And here I am a week later feeling like a strapped-down million-dollar child who just wants to get up and run around, but my group has me on lockdown. Just a couple more days, ladies. I am telling you, I can't handle much more. It is 85 degrees right now in Oregon, and I am dying to get outside.
Well, you know, it's with good reason that you're being told to take it easy. When you get a lift that's a lot more invasive, as you know, you got one before, it's a lot more invasive, and you just don't want to get, you don't want to risk infection. You don't want to tear those sutures. You really just want to, you know, let everything heal. Were you under or over the muscle?
I was under. So it was a matter of taking them out, and I did have the full capsulectomy. I didn't have the in-block. And a lot of scraping done on the ribs, a lot. My ribs were definitely feeling it for the next couple of days. And the muscle repair, and then the lift. And my muscles get really sore if I do overdo it. It feels like I pinch something in there, and I kind of go cross-eyed for a minute. And but honestly, my biggest issue after explant was the second day. I don't take pain medicine. I am very against pain medicine. Never liked it, never will. But of course, I'm the one spouting out the support to the women who explanted before me. Do what the doctor says. Take your pain medicine. You need to stay ahead of the pain so your body can heal. Gets to me, and he gives me the oxy, and I was taking it as suggested, the 2 every 3 to 4 hours, and I was taking 2 every 4 to 5 hours. But my body did not like it. It did not like the pain medicine. I was nauseous. I was groggy. I was throwing up. At one point, I passed out, and my son had to pick me up and put me in bed, and I was shaky and white and clammy. The next day, which was day 2, I said, I am done. I got Tylenol. I had my Arnica. That's what it's called, right? Not positive. But I had that, and I had my little stool. And I stayed in bed, took my Tylenol as needed, my antibiotic, and I was golden from that third day on. I was amazing.
Well, now, you're in Oregon, right?
I am in Oregon, central.
So you're in a legal state. You can access cannabis as medicine, and cannabis oil for pain is absolutely safe and highly recommended for this kind of recovery. You know, I can say that to you because you're in a legal state. You know, I don't recommend Tylenol at all, ever, okay? Tylenol depletes glutathione, which your body needs to be able to detox. So please, please, no more Tylenol, no more acetaminophen. If you must take an OTC pain reliever, do Aleve or Advil, but even those are really can be hard on your stomach. So take advantage of the fact that you're in a legal state for pain.
Well, I have not, luckily, I have not had the pain for the last 3 or 4 days. I haven't been on anything, not even ibuprofen, not the Tylenol, not anything, except for what I call my crazy pills. Those would be my pills for my bipolar. We do not not take those for everybody's safety. But
gotcha.
No, it's really But yeah, I haven't had any pain. Like you say, it is a legal state. If women in Oregon choose to go that route and it's natural, more power to you. Like you say, suggest staying out of pain as much as possible.
Absolutely. And I don't advocate for people to just, you know, FYI, I'm a huge advocate for cannabis as medicine for people who need it as medicine. Okay.
Yeah.
And I would say, you know, that is definitely a time when it should be made available to people who are able to access it legally, and they shouldn't have any qualms about it if that is something they choose to do. The opiates are killing people. I mean, we could do a whole, you know, series of shows on my radio show about the opiate crisis. People talk about cannabis as being a gateway drug. I disagree wholeheartedly. The gateway drug is opiates. It's prescription medication prescribed by doctors. We have an epidemic of heroin addiction in this country, which
methamphetamine.
Yeah, well, meth, yes, but I'm talking about a gateway. I'm saying that opiates are a gateway to heroin addiction. You know, the stimulants like Adderall and Vyvanse and the other, you know, what are the other ones? Ritalin, that they give our kids, that's gateway to meth. So the gateway to the hard drugs is not cannabis. It's these prescription medications that are irresponsibly prescribed by doctors and then abused in some cases and can lead to addiction and really, really hard to beat addictions later on. So, you know, I always say, like, go natural wherever you can. You know, stay away from the opiates. Stay away from Tylenol. I don't know if you knew that about Tylenol, but Tylenol is really bad.
I did not know that. I was I have a friend who's a nurse, and he brought me a bottle because he said it would help with the swelling. So we went from there, and it helped, but I only needed it for the next 24 to 48 hours, and that was to completely stay off the oxys, and now, like I said, I'm great. I have my tubes and drains out, came out Monday. They were supposed to come out Tuesday, but from day one, I never drained more than 50 cc's a day. And by day three, I was down to 15. So Dr. Busby was good enough to let me come in a day early and get those out. It was a 2-hour drive. He got me straight in, got those out, and I've felt like $1 million ever since. So
that's great.
Yeah.
It's so good. Yes. It's so good. So good to hear. I love hearing these stories. And it's just going to get better from here. You know, you may have some bumpy, you know, little bumps in the road here and there. I'm 6 months out. I was over the muscle. I did not get a lift, no fat transfer. So my recovery from the actual surgery was pretty quick. I'm still slowly getting back to, you know, like I've been detoxing, but very gently detoxing. And I think I'm going to start an exercise regimen, mostly swimming, maybe some other stuff, but probably mostly swimming. And
that's good. I'm so excited to get to that point where I can see what I'm capable of physically without regretting it 5 minutes later.
But I tell you, the spiritual journey of self-acceptance has been really remarkable for me. I'm so much happier. When I first, you know, really made the decision I was going to go ahead and do this, my friend that's a naturopath was so excited. She's like, she's like, this is great. Just think about all people's lives you're going to change and save and this. And I'm like, I am not there.
I'm not ready yet.
I'm sorry.
I have a few of those myself who are not quite ready yet. And I wasn't ready, I guess. But at the same time, like, it's time to give back. Like, this is what I've gone through. This is how much this has helped me. And if I can't get my story out now, it's not going to be any different a month from now because I have the same anxiety.
Well, I mean, I turned around in a couple of months and I started posting about it. And I was really apprehensive at first. And then I just had such this outpouring of So if you're one of us ladies and you're considering X-Plan, or you've had X-Plan and you just haven't brought yourself to the point of sharing it on your Facebook page, please, you would not believe the outpouring of support. And not only that, but I've had multiple friends who have breast implants come forward. I had one girl beat me to X-Plant. She heard me tell my story. She got hers removed the week before me. She's like, oh. You know, so I know that I've personally impacted multiple women that have gone ahead and gotten their implants removed. So, you know, and that feeling is amazing. It's really, really amazing when you know that you've impacted someone's life and that they've made a change that's a pretty dramatic change for the betterment of their health. So get out there,
most
share
definitely.
Your stories. We've got to make the world aware. If more and more women are coming forward, then more and more women are becoming aware that it could be a problem for them. All right.
Yes,
so
this podcast is the first thing that I've shared on my actual Facebook, and I did it today, and it was so relieving and so overwhelming, and I feel like I am taking a step to pay back all of these amazing women. Again, Tia, you and Jill and Tammy Jane and Renee, Shannon, I don't know what I would have done without my breasties. At this point, they are family. They will continue to be family. We will continue helping people who come into the group, who join the group, feel like they're welcome there and they have the support. And I really can't wait to meet all of these ladies face to face and just give them the hug and the love that they deserve for all that they have done for me and so many others.
Absolutely. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show, and you're welcome to stay on and listen. I am going to play a commercial. And then when I come back, I have a third lady, Tracy, and she is calling in from she's calling in from California, where she just explanted with the fabulous and famous Dr. Chun. So she's just had hers removed. You just had yours removed. So you're welcome to stay on and listen, or if you have to go, I understand. I appreciate you coming on. We'll be back again next week. And
all right. Thank you so much, Tia.
You're welcome, darling.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty Stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Tune in to Truth Quest Radio, Saturdays, 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern. With your host, Tia Severino, we'll be talking about the questions that you want answers to. Find us on freedomizerradio.com.
Call in our live number at 319-527-6208. That's 319-527-6208. Press 1 to participate on the air.
And we are back. This is Truth Quest Radio. I'm your host, Tia Severino. We've been talking about breast implant illness today, and I've had some lovely guests so far, and so I'm excited to bring on our third guest, Miss Tracy. You are on with Truth Quest Radio. Please introduce yourself. Oh, goodness. Miss Tracy, are you with me?
Hi. I'm here.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
You are there. Yes, excellent. This is Tia, and we've been listening to Truth Quest Radio, and we've been talking about breast implant illness. And this is my guest, Tracy. We've been talking with Charity and Tali earlier, and now we've got Tracy. Tracy, you are in California. You were telling me you just had your breast implants removed by Dr. Chun. How are you feeling, lovely lady?
I'm actually feeling really good. Today and yesterday, I've had a big turnaround. I had my explant done with Dr. Chun on the 16th, and the first couple days was a struggle. I still have my drain, so I am coming along a little slower than some ladies, but I'm being very patient about it, and I'm draining at about 25, 26 in each right now, so I'm getting closer. But I can tell the difference already. My mom and I, we were saying when I first woke up, I was in tears of joy because I could breathe again. And I was so excited about it that I was just crying. and I was telling her, I said, it is like I could take a deep breath for the first time in so many years because I had my implants for about 20 years. And it was like a baby taking his first breath. I was breathing and crying at the same time. I'm doing okay.
That's great. That's great to hear. So tell me, what kind of breast implant did you have, and how long did you have them for?
So I had Mentor Smooth Saline, 300 cc's, a little over 300 in one of them. And I had them since 1996. So had them quite a long time. And, I wanted to share something with you before I forget. And that was that Dr. Chun took out my implants, and I had been researching and following a lot of ladies on healingbreastimplantillness.com for a long time. And I just assumed I was going to have a capsule. And I was really, really loving all the learning and that I was doing for myself, but I anticipated a capsule. So 20 years of this implant being inside of me, the silicone shell, even though it had a saline inside, the silicone shell has been sitting on my chest wall for 20 years and with a spider web of a capsule around it. So it was very, very thin, and just really feel it was really just filling my body with toxins, and I became very, very ill. And it kind of crept up on me at first, and I didn't even realize what was happening to me. I just thought, you know, I was sick here and there. I would have blackouts and stuff like that. And then the doctors tell me, you know, oh, you're stressed. You have anxiety. It's all in your head. And I would go home crying. They tell me it's all in my head. It's not. I'm sick. I don't know what it is. And finally, I met all these ladies, and they all had the same symptoms. I was really, really sad and excited at the same time to learn that this is what was making me so ill.
Wow. So you just had a very thin capsule, nothing really holding back the toxins from you getting in your body. I mean, a lot of times the body will just wall off that implant with just this thick capsule around it. And that can be, you know, painful and uncomfortable. But then the flip side is that if you had had a rupture or a slow leak or even just the, you know, the chemicals leaching out of the silicone shell, it's not really contained.
It wasn't contained, no. So he did remove, like he explained to my family that he removed a spider web, and he said it was very difficult. He said it was the toughest of his career and that it was kind of a nightmare for a surgeon. So this is what he explained to my family. I was still, you know, on post-op. So, but he reassured them that he got everything. But yeah, he had to actually remove some tissue and some fat to grab that spider web of a capsule that was around that implant. Now, I've been really concerned with my weight for a long time, and I have not been able to lose weight. And no matter what I would do, exercise, because my husband's in the military, and I have an outlet to go to the gym. So go to the gym, exercise, eat right. Didn't matter what I was doing. I still have this inflammation, this fat on me. I'm like, what is going on here? How come I can't lose weight? Well, a lot of other women have implants, can't lose weight. Now, that being said, I have to tell you that I feel that that was a really big blessing. So for some women who think that they have fat on them and they have to lose weight before going into having an explant, now, I was blessed to have that fat on me, because if I didn't, who knows what had happened. When he touched it, it would disintegrate. So he was able to get that tissue, that fat, pick up that spider web of the capsule and get it. So I'm very, very blessed for that. And I want women to know that, hey, this might be a blessing. It might not be one of those things where you need to lose weight beforehand. It might be there for a purpose.
Well, in my case, I was very fortunate to have gained that 30 pounds, because it ended up translating into me still having a D cup after removing my implant.
Wow.
Like, who knew? I just needed to gain 30 pounds, you know. I didn't need implants. I just needed to gain some weight. You know. But I was really lucky. You know, a lot of this has to do with what you had to begin with, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you have a nice shape and you have, you know, you'll probably still have a nice shape when you remove them. I didn't opt for a lift. I didn't want the extra invasiveness of the extra cutting and the, you know, to work. I didn't want my nipples to be cut. I just didn't want all that cutting. And I like my results. I'm happy with my results. They really look like they did before I got the implants, before I lost the weight that made me want to get the implants in the first place. Because I had gotten really thin, and that's why my breasts had shrunk after breastfeeding my first child. So, but I was also over the muscle, and it seems like a lot of times the ladies that are smaller to begin with and go under the muscle end up needing a lift in order to come out of it looking okay. Did you get a lift?
I did not. Now, I didn't for a couple of reasons. One reason was because I just felt like I wanted to just be back the way God created me to be. Second reason was because I couldn't afford it. I didn't even have the money to even have an explant for quite some time. We're military. I have TRICARE. TRICARE would not cover me. I went to a number of the doctors over and over fighting for my case, saying, hey, I'm sick, help me. And they're saying, it's all in your head. It's not your implants. And if we did explant, we would only do it if you had cancer. So, us to not have cancer, but, you know, having coverage and not having them pay for my, they said I needed an external medical reason, but having BII wasn't a medical reason. So, in turn, I didn't have the money. So, finally came up with the money after much a letdown of asking friends and letting my business be out there. But one night I prayed really hard, and you know, and next thing you know, some credit card I couldn't get before, I was able to get, and I was able to just have enough money to pay for my explant alone, and for that I'm grateful. So no, I didn't have a lift, but I'm very happy with my results. Dr. Chun went through the areola. He didn't go underneath, and it's healing really good. And they are probably a full B, small C right now. I was like a D, double D. I was like 38 double D on some and full D on another, like, show. I hope that they get a little smaller, though, because they're still swollen. And I'm 5'2", so for my frame, I felt like I was carrying so much weight, and I'm so happy to have them out, because I can just, it's my frame. I'm smaller now. I can breathe better. They're not heavy on my chest. I mean, like, I can keep this conversation with you, and I'm not even, like, gasping for air or coughing in between, you know, my sentences. So it's kind of amazing.
Yeah, it really is. It's amazing to me. I just can remember how heavy they are. I would just lift them up and hold them.
Oh, my God.
The weight off of my back, my shoulders.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know?
Yeah, I did that too. I'm, like, going around holding my breath. And I'm like, this looks weird. I'm just walking around holding my breath. And then
like, I need a wheelbarrow to carry these things around.
Yeah, Dr. Chen gave me he gave me my bag of implants, and I was like, oh my goodness, I couldn't believe how much they weighed. My mom was like, you need to put those on a scale. How much did you have on your chest for so long? And it's insane. Yeah, it was incredible. But I'm feeling really good. And, you know, one of the things I wanted to mention, I'm so glad that you have me on. Thank you, by the way, was that I was doing research, and I know one of the toxic factors is benzene. And the reason why benzene struck a chord with me and threw up that red flag was my grandfather. He passed away from a rare cancer, and he worked for a chemical company. And when they did his autopsy, it came back that benzene was a factor in his cancer. It was a rare form of cancer. So that toxic chemical that's inside that inside that implant, that exterior implant, that benzene factor, I just want to, you know, mention that because a lot of people don't really realize that that's in there, and nobody really talks about it because it's a rare form of cancer. It took him, like, quickly. So for ladies who, like, are on the, you know, should I do it? How am I going to get the money or whatever? Oh, man. It's so amazing to have them out, and I'm so glad that I don't have that inside my body anymore. But, yeah.
So what symptoms have you noticed resolving or improving since getting the implants removed?
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, it was breathing better. Second of all, was having this feeling of this tightness in my throat. It was went away in the first couple of days. And first, I could breathe better instantly. Then that went away. The tightness in my throat, swallowing, I could swallow again. And it's been hard for me to swallow food. Hence, I'm still heavy, but I'm not eating a lot. And so now I can swallow better, and I don't have that inflammation in my throat and, like, my thyroid area. Let's see. My brain fog is lifting. Like, I'm having a conversation with you. I'm just going to town and talking your ear off. And prior to the explant, I was like, trying to come up with my words. So that's really exciting. And then I noticed I'm not getting dehydrated as much. I was having this dehydration thing and sensitivity to heat, and I've gone outside and I'm not having that. My heart palpitations so far, I mean, knock on wood, it was since the 16th. I haven't had any heart palpitations. My heart rate hasn't gone up. I haven't had that chest discomfort where all of a sudden I feel like I need to grab my chest. And I've already lost some weight, and I think that's, like, a lot of the inflammation going down. My body was just fighting these implants, and now it's able to say, hey, let's heal her up, and let's pay attention to some other areas too, and, you know, let's see what else. My depression. I'm not depressed right now. I'm totally excited about my future. I was really having a ton of anxiety. And I was having some really severe depression for a while, to where I was even had two times where I felt like taking my life, and being just completely attacked inside by these toxins and completely attacked by the enemy. And I'm not feeling that way. I feel like I have a new leash on life, and I feel like my Father in heaven's taking care of me. He blessed me with all these avenues. He blessed me with the money to go get it done. He blessed me with a great surgeon who, and he even blessed me with TRICARE denying me. Because if I would have went to them, I don't think that the results would have been the same. And I don't think that not having a microsurgeon like Dr. Chun would have helped me in any way. So, oh, my back's not hurting. And so far I haven't blacked out. I've had some blackouts for the last few years, and I haven't blacked out. And I don't know about food intolerances yet. Still haven't, you know, I'm kind of going easy on my diet. I haven't had any hives on my chest yet, and I've got those like all the time. And so those are gone. But some of the things that I still have, I don't know because I haven't gotten a cold yet. But I used to get sick, and when I would get sick, I'd get sick, and I'd keep flu or a small cold for, you know, 2 months, 2.5 months, and everybody, you're still sick, you know, and joint pain, that my knees right away, as soon as I got out of bed, first couple of days, I was able to feel the difference in my knees. They weren't making this weird sound that they were making before. And let's see. Oh, one thing I had that I think that a lot of people I haven't heard, but one lady who I researched, her explant, she was one of the first ones to explant with Dr. Melmad, and she talked about something. This was my aha moment, and that was that I was having problems at nighttime. I would wake up in the middle of the night feeling like cold water was being poured over my brain, and it would make me nauseous and make the room spin, and I would sit up out of bed, out of my deep sleep, feeling like that, and I would get that way several times during the week, and nobody knew what it was. Nobody could figure it out. They did, you know, MRIs, all these different scans on me. I had every kind of test you can think of to try to figure out what was going on with me. They didn't figure it out. pressure behind my eyes, the vision and all that kind of stuff. So my vision's getting better. First few days I was still blurry. But that feeling of that cold water being poured over my brain and getting nauseous in the room, being dizzy, I've only seen a few people with that so far. And I'm kind of curious about how their body was reacting to the implants. Like, did it form a capsule? Did it form a spiroid capsule? Or, you know, what was their circumstances? So, yeah. But, yeah, I had quite a lot, so it's kind of hard to go over. But I can definitely feel just in these last 10, 11 days that I'm coming around and I'm coming back. So I'm excited.
Did you have, like, one of my symptoms was I had my hands, my wrists got, like, weak, and whenever I would get cold, they would get numb and hurt really bad. I mean, my hands were always cold. And that was gone. Mm-hmm. Like, within the first 24 hours, my hands were warm again. It was amazing to me. Also, my hip and my knee were causing me a lot of pain. I was actually thinking I might end up needing surgery on my knee. And within 24 hours of the surgery, it was completely, the pain was completely gone from my knee and my hip.
This is exactly what happened to me, because I got out of bed and I was like, what? I went to the bathroom and then I realized, what? I just kind of like popped onto my knees. And before I was like 80-year-old lady, I'm like, ugh, get out of bed. And always having trouble with down my arms and into my wrists, and just always kind of grabbing my arms and kind of like massaging them because they would ache. And, you know, my hip, now that you say it, that's so weird that you say that, because my hip has been causing me problems for a long time. And I haven't really felt that in the last few days. And that's kind of just one of those things I need to write down now, because yeah, I guess that's that joint pain and everything like that. So that's kind of awesome that I can add that. Oh, the tachycardia, that's one that was a big deal, because I would go into the hospital multiple times with tachycardia. And they could put me on heart medicine and had me on medicine to lower my heart rate and had me on medicine what they thought was anxiety. And I kept saying, explain to me something. Why are you giving me medicine for anxiety? But my heart rate is still up. You know, this is not anxiety. And I'm not anxious over anything. I'm fine. And but I'm having anxiety. But well, I was trying to figure out why was my heart being elevated. So they had me on that for a while, and I was able to get off of that in the last few months because my hair was falling out. And but no, I have not had any major, like I said, knock on wood, praise the Lord, I've not had any heart rate issues since I've got them out. But yeah, did your hair fall out too?
Oh, I was having a major. I had almost all the symptoms on the list. If you go to healingbreastimplantillness.com, there's a list of symptoms on there, and I had almost all of them. I'm still waiting for the loss of libido to clear up. I mean, I would really love to have my sex drive back. It's just not there. Maybe eventually we'll get there. I think we're just, me and my hubby are just getting tired. We're getting old and tired. And I have a special needs son, so that really just kind of takes a lot of the fizz out of, you know. But I'm looking forward to, you know, enjoying that again. And, you know, I think everybody's different and everybody's unique set of circumstances is different, but there's so many of us that have these same symptoms. And, you know, just I think the main, and this may play into why your heart is, you're not having the heart palpitations, arrhythmia, and whatnot since explant. I have had a couple of bouts with it since. So just so you know, I mean, you may mm-hmm. have some, yeah. You know, some of these symptoms, you may experience, you know, flutters of symptoms where it feels like they're coming back. But I think it's really your body's just got to readjust. But I think that the weight, you know, of the implants, because we put these implants on our chest, and what it does is it weakens our pectoral muscles. So our pectoral muscles, and then that causes our shoulders to sort of droop forward, and that throws your whole entire alignment off. And, you know, your spine has all of your nerve endings go from your brain through your spine, and they branch out to the different, you know, different parts of your body. And I really believe that when you put these implants in, what it's doing is it's throwing your spine out of alignment, and you get a subluxation that's going to affect everything. It's going to affect your limbs. It's going to affect your organs. It's going to affect your skin. It's going to affect everything, your ability to detox. You know, subluxation is where your spine is supposed to sit like a stack of coins with a little like cushion in between. And what happens with subluxation is basically it's pressing down on one side or the other instead of sitting nice and stacked, and it pinches the nerve, and that just causes a cascade of negative consequences. And I really believe that that's the reason why my hip, my knee, my hands, my back, neck, mm-hmm. shoulders almost immediately felt relieved after getting them out. So even if the toxic ingredients in the shells or the contents of the implants weren't causing autoimmune and inflammatory response in the body, just the sheer physical aspect of having implants causing subluxation of the spine is, you know, going to be responsible for a lot of the health problems that women are having, and that's why I believe getting them removed, even mm-hmm. if that's the only reason, is going to be cause it to improve.
I agree with you. My back was going, my very lower back was hurting, and then my hip would hurt, and it would go down my left leg and into my knee, and I would go to the doctor, mm-hmm. and they'd give me medicine to relax the muscle. But that wasn't all the time. I would just kind of suffer with it. And mm-hmm. I kind of got used to feeling that way. So I was just like, I'd, you know, hold my breaths and bend over and kind of let my fine, relax, and wait for it to kind of decompress a little bit. But I would do that several times a day. So I know exactly what you're talking about. And you, I just got used to feeling bad. I took a picture of myself through time over the last year. And I told my husband the other night, I said, I think I just, we just got used to me looking bad. And this is just how I look, you know? And and I'm like, I don't know what's going on, but my skin's getting, you know, everybody I think gets that oily skin afterwards for some reason, but I have that. And I almost feel like in the last few days, now because the first couple of days it was hard. Like I said, I'm healing slower than other people, but today and yesterday I'm going up, you know, up the roller coaster. I'm hoping I'm not going down again, but I feel like with what I'm doing and how I'm taking care of myself post-explant and having that weight off of my chest and off of my body, off of my back, I can put my shoulders back, like you said, and I'm not hunching over the last few days that I'm able to walk around, and it feels really good. And I think that that's one thing to think about is to watch my posture and, you know, in the next few weeks and just start training my body to be back to this new body that I have, or a new old body.
And love on yourself. And you know, that to me, like I said several times already, is it's just been such a journey to self-acceptance that I really needed to go on. And you know, hopefully through our experience, more women will learn the dangers and the risks associated with breast implants. And hopefully, you know, nothing would please me more than for this to be a fad that people 100, 200 years now from now look back on with the same sort of, you know, disbelief and horror as they do when they think about, you know, X-ray machines for foot fittings. You know, they had a machine that they would X-ray your foot to get the best fit for your shoe. And
yeah.
What?
And same thing with that, you know, in the olden days when they used to bleed people out and stuff like that to think they would get better. I was telling my son, I was like, because he's been such a dear in helping me with my recovery. He came down here with me because my husband's active duty and he couldn't come. In the military. So my mom and my son's been helping me in the first week they were doing the drains for me, and I said, I kind of feel like I'm back in the olden days, you know, and you guys are bleeding me out. You know. So
well, you know, be grateful for the drains, because you definitely don't want to have a hematoma or seroma where you get the fluid build up in the breast. That's no fun. I'm sure that you'll get those out soon enough, and you'll be on to healing. And I just want to say thank you for coming on the show today. Appreciate it. This is Truth Quest Radio on Tia Severino. We do this every Saturday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific time. You can listen to us on freedomizerradio.com. And thank you for coming on the show. Thank you to my other guests. I have to end the show now. It's the end of our 90-minute journey. But well, you and I have been talking for 30 minutes. The show is 90 minutes long. But we are at the end, so now I got to do this thing where I say goodbye until next week and play a little exit music here, and I'll say goodbye. Take care.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com, and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.